Morning. Good to be with you, and happy Mother's Day for all your dear ones out there, dear mothers. There are several mothers, you know, several types of mothers. You have mother of your children. You have mothers in Israel. You have great mothers, mothers that had an impact on their children for good. But unfortunately, and it's in the Bible, there are those mothers who impacted their children for ill as well. And we just have to see what God says, and you aspire to be that mother that would impact your children for good, whether you're a mother right now or a mother in the future. It's important to see what God has said in His Word. And you know, the Bible says that whatsoever written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. A mother's impact. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus in chapter 2. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw him, that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to see what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." You know, there's a writer who wrote a hymn, says, "God moves in a mysterious way in his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm." This child should not have been alive if the king, if Pharaoh had his way. But not only is he alive, but Pharaoh is going to pay for his upbringing. He had given instructions that all the boys born to the Hebrew women shall die. They shall die. That was an edict. And you know, when you're looking for heroes, you don't think of these two nurses or midwives, Shua and Pua. You look for them in chapter 1. because they're the ones who defied the king's orders. They're the ones who spared the boys and spared this one. And I look at them as great heroes when I think of those whom God used. Shua and Pua, midwives. But the impact of the child's mother, that's what we want to talk about today. This dear woman, her name is Jochebed, the mother of Moses. The first thing she did was she hid the child. She saw that he was a beautiful child. He was special. And this is not what they call today woman's intuition, but this was godly insight. She saw that he was a goodly child, and so she hid him for 3 months. Now, she couldn't hide him forever because the child will grow. His lungs will expand, and before you know it, everyone would know that there is a child there. So she prepared an ark. And God in his providence sent him the way where Pharaoh's daughter was. And what's interesting, beloved, is that this sister, now I believe it's Miriam, she wanted to see what would become of her little brother. And so she followed him. And Pharaoh's daughter saw this child, and she fell in love with him. She wanted to take him, but you know, she didn't know how to raise him. And so little Miriam, I believe it's Miriam, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is his sister, she was older. She says, "Can I call one of the Hebrew women? Can I get someone from among the Hebrew women that she might take care of this child for you?" "Oh yes, please do." She went and got his mother. She got his mother. And I like what Pharaoh's daughter says, "Take this child for me and nurse him, raise him for me. And I will give you your wages. I will pay you for raising your own son." She didn't know that. But that's what she was doing. When you talk about impact, you talk about Jochebed raising Moses and instilling in him, first of all, who he was. She must have told him of his true identity. She must have told him why they were in Egypt. She must have explained to him God's covenant and God's promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And she must have told him that Egypt is not home. Where did I get that from? You get it in Hebrews 11. She must have told him all these things. But she was responsible for raising him, and she was responsible for instilling in him the values of the people of God, and to instill in him his true identity, and to tell him one day that God is going to take us out of this place. She had an impact on his life. She returned him to Pharaoh's daughter. It says the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. Let us understand, and mothers know this, but we need to be reminded that the formative years are very important. They're very important. You must understand that the children live what they see. And what you instill in them in the early years, they will remember. As the Bible says, you train up a child in the way that he must go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So she raised him and she returned him to Pharaoh's daughter. She must have told him he was a Hebrew. He knew that he was a Hebrew because of his actions that he took when he saw an Egyptian was beaten up on one of the Hebrew boys or one of the Hebrew children. And he went and he defended. He went a little far and he went prematurely. Because even though he was the one chosen by God to lead his people out of bondage, it's a possibility that you can go ahead of God. And so he had to leave. When you turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, that book of heroes, that hall of faith as we refer to it, first of all, you find the mother, the parents of Moses, by faith, Hebrews 11:23, by faith, they hid him for 3 months. They recognized that he was something special, someone the Lord is going to use. And so they impacted his life. They did everything they could to teach him. But God's plan and God's purpose for his people. Not only we find the faith of the parents, but we find also the faith of Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I wonder who told him he was not. I wonder who told him that this was not his people, and this was not his land, this is not his place. He was not an Egyptian. I wonder who told him that. The only other person who had a hand in raising him was his mother. Pharaoh's daughter wouldn't impart that because she named him Moses. That's an Egyptian name. She was saying, one day you're going to be a Pharaoh as well. So that didn't come from her. It came from his mother. She impacted his life. She instructed him as to his true identity, and she instructed him concerning God's purpose for his people. There was luxury in Egypt. There was a lot to enjoy, lots of pleasures. But he understood that it would not last. He understood that that was an idolatrous country, that country did not, the people did not worship the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He understood that because his mother taught him, and she impacted his life very early. So when he came to an age of responsibility, when he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. They were beginning to afflict the people down in Egypt because there arose a king in Egypt who knew not Joseph, and they began to make things difficult. for the Hebrew people. But his mother, she told him. She instructed him. One day, the Lord is going to take us out of this place. I wonder if she knew that he would be the man. I wonder if she knew then that he would be the leader. She groomed him for this leadership position. She instructed him. She guided him. She impacted his young life. So when the time came for decision, he made a choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Yeah, there was a lot of pleasure in Egypt, but it would only last for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. You know, we have to instruct our children, especially mothers, because you spend more time with them, that the words that the Lord Jesus spoke, that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That life is more than meat. That it's more than possessions. It's more than positions. It's more than power and authority here on earth. There's something more to life. There's something that lasts. It's about the Lord. And everything about the Lord is eternal. And those are the things that you must strive for. Yes, the education is important. And yes, you can instill that. But there's something more than just having it in this life. You would impact your child for good or ill. You would prepare them not only to take their place in society, but you would prepare them for eternity as well. They must understand the mind and the will of God. They must understand that God prepared salvation to all who believe, and that they need to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to have an encounter with the man who died, was buried, and rose again the third day. They need to understand that before they leave home, before they go out into the world. They need to understand what's required. She impacted Moses' life, and he understood, and what a leader he became. What a leader he became, because he understood the plight of his people. And he waited on the Lord after his initial misstep. When the call came, he was ready, he was prepared, because God sent him away for 40 years. And then God called him at the right time. He said, I have seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cries. I can hear their groanings. He says, I am come down that I might deliver them. And now I am sending you. I am sending you to deliver my people. All because his mother impacted his life. His mother trained him. She trained him. She protected him physically for 3 months. She instructed him morally. And she taught him spiritually. And he was ready. You need all three. All of these, if you're going to make a positive impact in this world, and mothers, it begins with you. You take this child and
raise him, nurse him for me.
I'd like to talk about another mother, and briefly, because this mother also had an impact on her son. A mother by the name of Hannah in 1 Samuel in chapter 1. And she was going annually up to Shiloh, and she understood what was going on. I don't think her husband really understood what was going on in the life, in the heart, and the mind of Hannah. Because when Hannah was sorrowful, he thought, well, I can be to you better than 10 sons. But she was going up on an annual basis, and she was seeing everything that was happening in Shiloh. She was seeing the immorality of the sons of Eli. She was seeing how the lamp in the temple was burning low, and she wanted a man-child to give to the Lord. It wasn't so much for herself. She prayed to the Lord for a man-child, and God answered her prayers. Without going into a whole lot of details concerning Eli and the rest of it, but the Lord answered her prayers, and he gave her a son. Why a man-child? Because she wanted a man to minister before the Lord. And if you look at the conditions during that time, Like I said before, the sons of Eli, the Bible says, had made themselves vile. Vile. They were vagabonds. And so there was no vision. No frequent vision, the Bible says. The word of the Lord was scarce. Nothing was happening. And Hannah was grieved, and she wanted a man. She said, if you give me a man child, I will give him back. Three things that she did that mothers need to do today. First of all, she prayed. She prayed for a child, a man child, that she might give him to the Lord. And after that she prayed, she presented him to the Lord after he was weaned. And after she presented him to the Lord, she praised the Lord for the son. Now, what a song she wrote. What a song she sang in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. She impacted this child. She said, I'm not going to go up this year. I'm going to stay. I'm going to keep this child until he is weaned. And what a celebration they had after he was weaned. And they took the child up and she presented him to the Lord, and he ministered before the Lord with Eli the priest. Something his sons didn't do. They went their own way. They strayed from the Lord. They were supposed to be the priests of the Lord, but they were just violating every principle and every moral code that there was in the temple. They took the flesh for themselves, that which belonged to the Lord. They violated the women that came to make the offering. And on and on and on. And God says, Eli, household is going to be punished because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. They needed a man, a godly man, a holy man, a man given to the Lord. And she says, as long as he live, not a razor shall come to his head. He shall be a Nazarite from his birth. Look how things changed after Samuel got to the temple. There were no frequent visions. One night he lied down and he heard the voice of the Lord. He heard the voice of the Lord. He didn't recognize the Lord first because he did not yet know the Lord. There were no frequent visions. The word of the Lord was scarce in those days, but after Samuel got there, the Lord spoke to Samuel. The Lord told him what he was going to do. And the Lord communed with Samuel. He communed with him. He told him exactly what he was going to do. The word of the Lord is coming again to the people of God. Because there was a woman who prayed. She saw the conditions, she prayed. And the Lord answered her prayer. She prayed specifically. The Lord answered her prayer. And then she kept her promise and she presented him to the Lord. And then after that, she praised the Lord. Do we take the time when the Lord answers our prayers and grant us our petition? Do we take the time to praise him, to give him thanks, to exalt his name and to honor him because of what he has done? These two women, and that's the only positive ones we can talk about this morning, they impacted their song. You can't find a more godly man in the scriptures, I don't believe, than Samuel. A man of God. A man with godly principles. But you see, his mother impacted his life. She knew what she wanted, a male child. She knew why she wanted him. She knew when to release him and give him to the Lord. Two great leaders that their mother impacted their lives, and what a difference they made. But I want to talk to you about the very opposite. There are other mothers who impacted the lives of their children, but in a negative way. They raised boys who became leaders as well, but not godly leaders. Yes, they thought, well, you can conquer the world, you can be a hero, but you don't need the Lord. You can do it on your own, and like so many today, we don't look to the Lord. We think that we have all the answers. Don't let anyone push you around. You go and you take control. You take control. And if you remember, there's a man like that in the book of Judges. His name was Sisera, an antagonist of the people of God. He would go out and he would wage war against God's people. Along with the rest of the Canaanites, see, he would rise up against the people of God, and his mother was expecting him to come home all the time bringing the spoils, because that's the way she raised him. Chapter 5 of Judges. That's the way she raised him. To be a cruel, to be one of the ruthless generals that you'd ever read about. His name is Sisera. And you know, another mother said something about Sisera. Her name was Deborah. She was a mother in Israel. And she said to Barak, you know, if you choose to do this, the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman. You won't get any glory. You won't get any praise. He's going to be delivered into the hands of a woman. That's what the mother in Israel said. And what a great woman she was. We don't have time to talk about Deborah now, but that's just to bring in Sisera into the picture. And so he went out in this campaign. But the Lord had encouraged his people. The Lord had spoken to Deborah, who encouraged Barak, and they both went out because he was not going to go without her. And what a great leader she was. They went out and Sisera was defeated because the Lord had delivered him into their hands. He was defeated. And when all his men had run away, he also took off. The Lord controlled the elements. And here's Sisera running for refuge. And that's where we pick it up. Judges chapter 5. And it says, the mother of Sisera. Oh, she raised this champion. She raised this general. She raised this ruthless killer to come home every time. And to celebrate. Bringing the spoils. That's all she wanted. You bring the spoils. No prisoners. Just bring the spoils. Verse 28 says, the mother of Sisera looked out through a window and cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? Her wise ladies answered her, yea. She returned answer to herself, have they not sped? Have they not divided the spoil? To every man a damsel or two, to Sisera, that's her son, a spoil of dyed garments, a spoil of dyed garments of needlework, on both sides, suitable for the necks of those who take the spoil. That's her son she was talking about. He must be arrayed in all these fine linen. That's the way I raise him. Don't take any prisoners. Just bring home the spoil. Bring home the booty from the war. And she waited. What a sad picture. It says she waited. She wept through the lattice. She must have had an indication that he's not coming. Something is wrong. By this time, you can hear the chariots coming. By this time, he's rejoicing. My son is coming home with the booty, with the spoils of war and all the beautiful garments. He should be home by now. She began to worry. She wept. She waited. He didn't show up. You know why? Because he had a temple peg in his, or he had a tent peg in his temple. Jael had put him down. Jael had nailed him to the ground. He was defeated. He's not coming home. The great general, no more celebration. That's what you raise. A man of ruthless killer, antagonist of the people of God. You're expecting a celebration, but it's not going to happen. Sisera is dead. He conquered all that he could. He killed more than his share. The last verse of chapter 5 of Judges said, so let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. But let them who love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest. Finally, people of God, land had rest 40 years. Yes, he was successful. He might have been a brilliant general. He was a ruthless killer. He had everything to conquer. He didn't know the Lord. He didn't know the Lord. The Lord Jesus says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mothers, yes, they need an education. Yes, they need stability. Yes. They need to even be forceful, and sometimes they need to stand tough. But in all that they need, most of all, they need the Lord. Sisera didn't know the Lord. He died the way he lived, without God. He died as she took his head off, and she nailed him to the ground. His mother, she looked. She waited. She wept. She worried. Are you worried? Are you worried about the ones you raise? Are they ready? She didn't come home. But let me close with another negative one. The house of Ahab, what a family. Did more to annoy, did more to provoke the Lord than any others. The house of Ahab. And he was married to a woman by the name of Jezebel. She was a princess of Baal. And I don't know if they had children, but he had a lot of children. He had a daughter by the name of Athaliah. And this Jezebel influenced Athaliah. She was a devoted worshiper of Baal, this Athaliah, against the people of God. She was so ruthless that she would destroy all the royal seed so that she can be queen. Her own grandchildren she would kill if they get in her way. She had a son. She had a son. And he was successful because he was a king. Second Kings. She had a son by the name of Ahaziah. Second Chronicles. And she had an impact on his life. A great impact on Ahaziah's life. And this is not conjecture, beloved. This is exactly what the Bible says. Athaliah had an impact on the life of Ahaziah's son, who became king. 2 Chronicles 22. This is sad, but it's true. The inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his stead, as his father had died. For the band of men who came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the eldest. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah. It says the daughter of Omri here. This was the granddaughter of Omri. She was really the daughter of Ahab. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. That's a mouthful there. For his mother, Athaliah, Ahab's daughter, and maybe Jezebel's, her daughter, adopted, or that's not what it was, but you know what I'm talking about. For his mother was his counselor. To do wickedly. She impacted him. Wherefore, I was talking about her stepdaughter, that's what I was trying to do. Wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab. For there were his counselors, Ahab, Jezebel, Athaliah, the whole house of Ahab. For they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. His own mother brought him down. His counselor, she encouraged him. She taught him evil. She instructed him how to be an evil man. She was his counselor. She was his advisor. She taught him all the evil that he knew. His mother was his counselor to do evil. Mothers, we impact our children one way or another, for ill or for good. I know you're more like Jochebed than Athaliah. I'm not saying anyone's like her, but there's certain things that we have to avoid, and we could unknowingly, because we want them to succeed, we could mistakenly, you know, make them ruthless. Don't let anyone stand in your way. You walk over them if you have to. She was his counselor to do evil. Jochebed, on the other hand, taught her son to fear the Lord, to reject the evils of Egypt, the sin of Egypt. Hannah gave her son to the Lord that he might be a godly leader again. They needed in Shiloh a godly man, and this child filled the bill. This child, she said to Eli, "For this child I prayed." What a man. What a mother. What a mother. I hope you have a good day, mothers. I know you are more like Hannah and Jochebed. God help us. These are difficult times in which we are living. To instill values. Values, godly values and moral values in our children, because we are calling evil, corrupt people heroes today. What a shame, what a pity. We need men like Samuel, men like Moses, whose mothers instruct them in the way that they must go. God bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee that thou hast enabled us to set aside a day when we honor our mothers, the ones who took care of us, the one who protected us, the dear one who fed us, kept us clean. They are ones who placed us on their knees and sang to us. What a great responsibility. What a high honor it is to raise children. We thank thee that the children are a gift from God. Help us to cherish them, to nurse them, to teach them, to instruct them, and to live Christ before them. Thank you for thy word. Thank you for all the saints. Thank you for bringing us together and the privilege of remembering our blessed Redeemer. Watch over us as we part the one from the other. Lord, take us to our respective homes.
peace and in safety. Guide us by thy counsel. Lead us by thy Holy Spirit. And bless the dear mothers among thy people, we pray. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.